O come, let us adore him. Amen. So I have a question for you. What does grace look like? Earlier this afternoon, I was working on some pageant costumes, and I needed to send a message out over Facebook. Thank God for Facebook. And I said, I'm making this costume for the Holy Spirit. What do you think she should look like? And I got some pretty interesting responses. Maybe she should be all of the colors of fire swirling around. Maybe she should be the colors of water. After all, she does do a little bit of that baptism thing. Everyone had an opinion of what she should look like, and no two were alike. She ended up glittery and gold, and it was very pretty. But it just showed that there was no way to come to a full consensus on what shape or form we need to give to these concepts, to these beings, to these gifts that come down to be among us. And so again, I want to ask you, what does grace look like? In the letter to Titus, which we heard tonight, we hear mention of the grace of God which has appeared. And what is more, that grace is bringing salvation to all. What a miraculous and powerful thing. Grace that saves all. Not just believers, not just the chosen, not just the righteous, but all. That is the thing that the angels praised by singing glory to God in the highest. Jesus the Christ, God's own grace, sent to earth and made human to walk amongst us. Glory to God indeed. Glory to God for sending God's own self to save us all. Glory to God for the wonder of creation, the blessings of life, and the gift of eternal life granted through Jesus, God's own Son. But the story doesn't end here. Hallelujah for that. We've made it to Christmas, the birth of our Lord and the hope for the world. And we've been counting down to this day. We've had calendars and candles, and we've been waiting for it to come. But this isn't the end. The arrival at the birth is just one point on a timeline of human existence. It is a rather remarkable point, I will give you that. But it's a point, a moment in time, nonetheless, that we gather here tonight to commemorate. For you see, in order for the grace of God, which has appeared, to come into the world first had to come into being. People had to be born. God had to see that the people needed a more tangible representation. God had to decide to become one with us, to be Emmanuel. God is with us. And now that all of that has come to pass, the rest of the story can begin. The birth of Jesus is the springboard of hope into the entire world. But that letter to Titus doesn't stop with the appearance of God's grace either, does it? Titus's letter did not place the birth of Christ as the ending point on our journey. Titus's letter continues by telling us what the gift of God's grace, which we cannot earn, requires of us. Namely, that we are called upon to renounce earthly desires and passions and to live lives that are godly. But what does that even mean? That night, this night, is supposed to be about joy and celebration. How does a letter calling for renunciation of impiety and worldly passions fit with angel choirs and silent night? To be honest, Titus's charge for us isn't that much different from what God has always wanted from us. God created human beings and wanted to remain in relationship with us. We were created in God's image and entrusted with the care of all of creation. And the prophet Micah tells us that we are called to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Acting justly calls us to a mind of equality for all people, to stand up for what is right, even when it would be easier to look the other way. Loving mercy reminds us to forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Walking humbly with our God is an invitation to forget about the marks of status and the things that might distinguish us from one another, choosing instead to bow our heads in prayer as we travel on a pilgrim's journey, all together, as one people. Walking humbly with our God ties our call for justice and mercy as it charges us to issue the invitation to walk with God to those who may not have heard, those who might not be here tonight, those who might not have received the invitation yet, or who may feel unworthy of such an honor. We are all in this together, and it's our goal, it's our charge to go out and let people know this good news. This has always been the call for humanity. So why then did Jesus come? It might seem that the similarity of the charge for humanity means that Jesus' birth was redundant. But on the contrary, the birth of Jesus Christ changed everything. Since the beginning of time, God has reached down to try to bring human beings back into the loving parental embrace that God has continued to offer. God sent messengers and prophets, formed covenants and gave laws. God sent rainbows and olive branches, booming messages and still small voices. Yet somehow, we continued to miss the message. Over and over, God tried to tell us what was required of us. Despite what we thought to be our best efforts, we kept losing sight of God. When we were close enough to breathe in God's very essence, we would somehow lose track of where we were. And God knew that and loved us enough that God knew we needed to get closer. And since it was clearly not possible for us to climb up to God, God came down to us. Hallelujah. God came down to us in the form of a baby born to a poor carpenter and his young fiance. Not to eliminate the calling to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, God came down to accompany us on this voyage, to show us the way and demonstrate what this life might look like, and at the ends, to carry our transgressions away so that we can continue that walk towards the light each and every day of our lives, trusting in the gift of grace and mercy that is being offered to us. Jesus came down at Christmas to embody the call to action issued by God and reiterated this night in the letter to Titus. So we come out on this night to sing with the angel choirs, to light candles and to rejoice. But we also come out to remind ourselves that hope is alive despite our presence in this broken and scary world. We live in a world where innocent people are killed for no reason, where we persecute others for being different than us, where children go hungry, and men and women sleep outside because there is no room at the modern day inns. Jesus broke into this world to shine light on all of those injustices and more. Jesus broke into this world so that our hearts might be shattered open and we might stand up and say, no more. So with each tolling of the bell, we can say, no more injustice, No more hunger, no more intolerance, no more homelessness, no more genocide, no more economic injustice, no more. We come out on this night to remind ourselves that despite the darkness in our world, there is light, there is hope, and it shines from our hearts and goes forward to shine into the lives of others as well. This, my friends, is what the grace of God looks like. Every time we reach out our hands in love, we are embodying the grace of God that has come down. Grace looks like the smile of a child being held by his parent. Grace looks like the sharing of a meal amongst friends or even strangers. Grace looks like a consoling hug offered to someone in need. Grace looks like woolly socks being given to someone who is cold. Grace looks like a person crying on her knees when she suddenly realizes that she is not just known, she is loved entirely to her core. Look around you for just a moment. Look at your neighbors in your pews. I can wait while you do it, I promise. I can see if you're doing it. Look at the strangers and the families. Look at people you know. Maybe you've known them for years. Look at someone who might just be visiting. Really look at them. Look in their faces. Look into the eyes of someone you've never met. That is grace, my friends. Grace looks like the light of Christ that shines out to us from the hearts of others that we encounter on this eternal journey of light. You are enormously powerful because every single day, every single encounter, you have the opportunity, without even saying a word, to share the light and the hope of Christmas with someone else. So happy Christmas, my friends. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit in all her glittery glory be with you, all of you, forever. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth,